Union City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the River Parishes, too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers a high-yield savings account with a rate that can earn you four times the national average. Banks offer free pens. So what's more important, savings options to help you make the most of your money or free pens? You can money. Visit Marcus.com to learn more about saving, borrowing, and investing from Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Investing involves risk and investments may lose value. Brokerage and investment advisory services by Goldman Sachs and Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Lending and deposits products provided by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, member FDIC. National averages based on savings account data provided by Informa and accuracy cannot be guaranteed. Learn more at Marcus.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Gerson Rosas, president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
We saw a continual pattern of lack of identity as a ball club.
Cliff Averill, Legion of Boom, Super Bowl champion.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, brothers.
Ronnie Lott, NFL Hall of Famer.
First time I watched him play, how tough that kid was.
Deion Sanders, Jackson State head coach.
Thank you for finally letting me get down with you, man.
Tim Hardaway Jr. of the Dallas Mavericks.
When you have everybody healthy, definitely helps out a lot.
Jay Gruden, former head coach of the Washington football team.
He would complain about not getting the ball, that's for sure.
Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State Spartans.
If that's opportunity, I guess that's what you call it. I call it insanity.
Executive director of the National Football League Players Association, Demoris Smith. How many years have you been in that role?
12 years by a calendar, about 37 years, if you're counting the ulcer-lined stomach that I have.
The biggest names in sports are here, and it all starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day. This is ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Welcome back to the Pelicans training facility. As we've heard from head coach Willie Green and general manager Trajan Langdon as well. And one of the things that we will also be speaking about is the team's G League team over in Birmingham as well. The Barons, where David Lane now joins us. He is the general manager of the G League team now for the Pels. David, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Yep, for sure. So, look, obviously a big day here in New Orleans where we're introduced to the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans in Willie Green, but also yesterday the logo, the formation, all of that really coming out yesterday as well. So, David, kind of a big day yesterday for you guys.
Yeah, it was a long day coming. You know, we've been working on this brand, you know, 6-7 months now, and so it was great to be able to let that secret out and let everybody know our new team name, the Squadron.
So kind of tell us a little bit about that process. How did you guys come up with the Squadron and the logo and all of that?
Yeah, we did a fan submission back December, January, and we took in about 1,700 submissions from local fans, or you know, it was probably nationwide, but 1,700 submissions and narrowed down to, you know, our top three or four, and then looking at narrowing that down even closer, and then you got to go through steps with the NBA and, you know, get approvals from all that on trademark and name and everything. And so got it down to the Squadron, and we think it's a perfect fit for the Birmingham community and the Pels tieback. So.
Kind of give us a little snapshot, man, of what the community sort of feels about having a G League here as well. I know there's an excitement from, I guess, management here. We've heard David Griffin touch on and Trajan Langdon the importance of the G League and having players to develop and things of that nature. But from a community standpoint, how has the city of Birmingham embraced the Squadron?
So far, so good. They're excited. You know, we could tell early on that they were hungry for a professional basketball team, but for professional basketball and specifically. You know, looking at television and radio ratings consistently, Birmingham is in the top five year after year of viewership and listenership on radio and television nationwide. So we knew there was a hunger here. There's a passion for basketball. There's tons of AAU basketball around and a lot of tournaments. There's, you know, very competitive leagues throughout the community. So we knew that they were looking for something professional And so we're happy to be here. Yeah. They're happy for us to be here.
And something else that kind of sticks out about the G League is that, you know, there is kind of a quicker route instead of having to go to school and having to play for a certain amount of years in that eligibility. And so, you know, what are the advantages to kind of taking that G League route? And then on the flip side, you know, what is the risk of doing that rather than going to play for, you know, a college team?
Yeah, I think you're seeing the trend, and I'm not on the basketball ops side of things, but I think you're seeing the trend of, you know, this one and done has been going on for a long time now. And so, you know, instead of going overseas to play and make a little bit of money, now you can stay in the state, you can stay at home, sign with, you know, maybe even your favorite team, your local team, and play basketball for a year before being drafted. So I think, you know, the trend was already going that way. So the NBA is sort of stepping up and keeping folks from going overseas and keeping them in the state. And I think you'll continue seeing that.
I think one of the things that's also interesting is merchandising. I'm just going to be honest with you. I love the way when they became the Pelicans and the colors and the different variations of it, and seeing the alternate logos you guys have from Beham Basketball that kind of looks very familiar, obviously, to the Pels here. But I love the – what do you call it? Is it the airplane or the plane fleur-de-lis? It's a fleur-de-lis, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it has the top 3 points are airplanes. I dig it.
Yeah, that's what we play. It is a fleur-de-lis with the sword-de-lis. Airplane.
Sword-de-lis. I like that. Yep. Soaring in the air. All right, I got you, Maddie. I got you.
Sword-de-lis,
it's really cool.
Yeah, that
Beeham, go ahead.
I think is going to be very popular.
I think one of the things, David, that is going to be interesting to see too is just a correlation. It's not that long of a drive. I just recently drew through Atlanta, so had a driver along that route. But having the proximity, do you think that sort of helps too, though, that the people in Birmingham can, you know, essentially make it to New Orleans and see, you know, an NBA team or an NBA game that maybe one of those players move up and do that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the vision from Mrs. Minson and the Pelicans has always been to get this team closer to home, but also to expand the fan base into Alabama, and I think this is the perfect way to do it. Now you call Birmingham home, and now your players are here, and like you said, they can be, you know, in 5 hours they can be down in New Orleans, so they could practice here in the morning and drive down and play in New Orleans tonight, so... you know, being so close and expanding that fan base is part of our vision.
Where are they going to be playing downtown? And is it construction of an arena? And how is that kind of getting ready? I mean, obviously the season starts in November.
Yeah, so Legacy Arena will be it's an older building. It's built in 1970s. It is currently undergoing a $123 million renovation. You know, not only a facelift, but they basically tore the insides down to the bare bones, and they're building it back brand new. It'll still have the same capacity of 17,000, a little over 17,000 for a basketball event, but they added a suite level with 11 suites that they never had before, and they added a club level, which they never had before. So a brand new entrance atrium, a glass atrium off of 19th Street here in Birmingham, and just a beautiful new facility. You won't be able to tell that it was built in the 70s anymore. So it's going to be one of the top arenas in the G League, if not the top arena in the G League. And it might even rival some NBA arenas.
That's awesome. Folks, want to go check it out. Birmingham.gleague.nba.com obviously is the website. I look forward to talking with you as we get closer to November and get people excited about that as well and kind of see where the G League or the Pels goes, David.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. So November will be here. I think we found out tip-off will be in 100 days from tomorrow, 100 days from tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's not very long at all, especially considering the NBA season starts a little bit before that. So that means we're less than 100 days, Matty, from NBA basketball. I like that. Thank you, David, for getting me even more excited. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Mr. David Lane, general manager. Yes, sir, general manager of the Birmingham Squadron. And look, Matty, it's one of the things that we have heard from David Griffin. We have heard from Trajan Langdon and people on – you know, at this facility that developing those players is key and doing that. And look, I like the fact that there's excitement there. And you know what? Look, Mrs. B has been saying it. The health center that you're looking at right now, that was part of the $1 million-plus addition to this building. $125 million going to that arena, making it nice. Love the logos, love the gear. I understand at the end of the day it's about winning. But
it is.
You have to kind of want to like where you're at and feel you're being taken care of and then find the right pieces.
If there's anything to take away from, you know, today's press conference or conversations with Trey Hanlington and Willie Green, it's that relationship with players and that, you know, Aaron Rodgers quote I will, you know, put on my bingo card to use once a week at this point, that business all is all about how you treat people, but that way you treat people also translates into their ability to respond to coaching, to take, you know, calls seriously, to really work on improvements and not get slighted when their coach points out something, you know, wrong about them. And you just think about that report that came out a couple months ago about the Pelicans, you know, possibly moving out of the city and that there wasn't, you know, and then everyone kind of freaked out about that. And then you look at what has kind of transpired since then. You point out this new health center. They hire a coach that seems to have the same philosophical mindset as the organization. Everything today kind of immediately felt comfortable and right. And then you have this G League developing where not only do you now have, like, you know, those younger players in the area, but you have a coach in Willie Green who values those younger players and finding kind of diamond in the rough type talents. You brought up Najee Marshall, that I mentioned him twice over now. And you know, not really the first person most people would mention right off the bat when it comes to talking about this roster. So that also helps kind of, you know, from a recruitment aspect in that G League as well. And it all almost kind of self-perpetuates what kind of looked like a very potentially tumultuous situation a couple months ago. They put in the work to make sure that it, you know, it's clear that they plan to remain in New Orleans and play competitive basketball. And I'm willing to believe it at this point. And I know that people say that every season.
I don't know. I hear you.
But I didn't feel like there was any reason to believe it before. But in you know, being here in person, and you can kind of tell when someone's being, like, again, I'll go back to him being honest about the fact that he hasn't watched much tape on Zion because he's been preparing for the NBA Finals. Yeah. I'd rather have that than someone that, you know, comes up with some false vision of a player when they really haven't had the time to cultivate that. So I think really all the fundamentals and the philosophical mindset is there. And that always seemed to be paramount on the Saints side, that everyone was on the same page culturally, philosophically, all with that same mission and goal. And now that seems to be translating to the basketball side of things, which has been the point of issue.
No doubt. I think one of the things that we will obviously we'll see over the next couple of days, really, not only with the draft, free agency as well. So let's kind of reset some things because, okay, part of, and you've heard me say this, Maddie, and I know a lot of times we're going to get to this before the end of the show, what happened with Simone Biles earlier today. Admitting mistakes, dealing with you know, mental health, all those different aspects of it. I think you sort of understand why you keep hearing communicating in today's day and age of athletes is important. We can laugh at it or we can say it's not as important, but your head coach almost, you know, has a pseudo, you know, psych degree, you know, in understanding how to communicate with players and how to get the most out of them without maybe putting pressure on them and stuff or something of that nature, or getting them to perform in pressure situations.
I think also just recognizing that there is a psychological element to the game, like the point about, you know, free throws are hard because there is no defense there, and recognizing that there is a psychological.
That was interesting you brought that up with Willie, for him to think that, because I think that was part that was brought up in the finals with Giannis, that some people were suggesting that maybe he dribble once or twice and kind of take a step and move in the rhythm. General D actually brought that up. I didn't know this. He said you do not have to stand and not move. You have that area to the top of the key where you legitimately could take two dribbles, come up, as long as you don't cross the free throw line, that you could actually move and get into some rhythm. And that for some people, he thought that that might help, because you never really just stand there and take a shot. Even on your set pieces or set threes, you're waiting in the corner, you're catching and shooting immediately. It's a little different than waiting for the basketball to be dribbled to you. Yeah. Now, I know some people listening going, come on, dude, you make gazillions, you can make a free throw. I'm just telling you, there's some people like John Lester of my Chicago Cubs back in the day, the year they won the World Series, the guy cannot throw to first base.
people would bunt at him, and he literally would grab the ball in his glove and toss it underhand to the first baseman or run it over there himself, because he couldn't make that throw, which is remarkable to me. The guy can throw for strikes on a mound and can't toss it to first base. So I have quit, you know, going, no way. And it, for some people, it can be a block, you know?
Yeah, and for I think that there's two parts to it, and recognition of the mental element is almost, like, paramount to me. Like, yeah, there are technique issues. I mean, Steph Curry, when he was a kid, learned how to extend his shooting range motion because he was 5'6" in high school, and learning how to kind of tweak those fundamentals is important, but also recognizing that at the end of the day, it's kind of like a penalty kick without a goalie, in that it's just you and the basket. It's like when you go running, it's just you and nothing stopping you other than making it. So that's really, to me, the mental is way more important than the physical, because shoot 500 free throws a morning. It's in those games, yeah, where people choke. It's there's literally a science behind it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matty Hudak, Gus Kattengill with you. It is the Sports Hangover. Don't go anywhere. We come back, we'll recap in case you missed what Willie Green had to say this morning. New head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans officially introduced today. We were here. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Your mind is not your own. Your heart spreads.
Breaking news. DraftKings is live in Louisiana with daily fantasy sports. DraftKings has finished dotting their I's and crossing their T's, meaning you can begin playing right now. Get a free entry into DraftKings Daily Fantasy Contest with your first deposit of $5 or more and get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Every player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, then sit back and watch your points pile up. Download the top-rated DraftKings app and use code LAROSE when you sign up. For a limited time, all new players can have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. That's code LAROSE, only on the DraftKings app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Gus Kattengill, to your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Little did I know that Antonio Daniels, color analyst for Fox Sports New Orleans, calls your Pelicans games, and Matty Hudak actually have something in common. I had no idea. Matty, you've hurt your wrist.
We don't need to go here. We don't need to go here.
Very serious injury, Matty. How did you do that?
Watch where your cat is, I guess, when you're walking around.
You, at least, Antonio, you were doing a sport.
Yeah, an extreme sport.
Extreme sport.
It was an accidental extreme sport. Don't say it like, oh, you know, I'm a thrill seeker. Like, no. Well, it was a complete accident.
Well, AD, you say you went mountain biking. It took a gondola. It took you 25 minutes to go up. That wasn't like a 10-foot mountain.
But I didn't. Yeah, we were in
you
Colorado.
You can't get off the gondola.
Exactly. That's it. So once you're on, you are on. And me and my daughter rode that gondola all the way up. And I promise you, we end up walking our bikes almost all the way back down that mountain.
I see that sometimes at restaurants they'll have like those videos of funny little things, cats tripping little kids and stuff. And but you'll
or
see
adults.
or adults. But you'll see like those mountain bikers that have, you know, the GoPros on their helmets, and I it's about as wide as your tire. And I
And you know what made it so terrifying, to be honest with you, is if you miss your turn. It's not like you miss your turn and you fall into pillows.
Sure, no.
If you miss your turn,
jagged rocks.
Trees.
At best,
Right. Trees, brush, bushes, cliffs. My daughter's 10. She's 10, so she's ahead of me, and I am watching her, and I am terrified watching her. Like, if she misses one of these turns, I'll never forgive myself as a father. So, yeah, needless to say, I am in need of a wrist brace today, but another story.
My, my sister lives in Burlington, Vermont, and they live close to Stowe. It's kind of a ski community out there, and we went in, you know, like May one time, my wife and I, and the snow was melting still, sort of whatever. But I did. I did the hike. Hiking sounds fun. It's pleasurable.
In
all
the
that.
Snow?
Well, no. When you come
down, it's not fun. Period.
Exactly.
It's not fun
when
in
you're
the
not
sun.
Thinking about that, when you misstep, there's, you know, Wile E. Coyote. Remember them from back in the day?
Yep.
Looney Tunes.
Yes.
The old. There it is, the boo. That's who it was. Hey, T-Man, thanks for joining us. Look, man, it is a big day because someone was officially introduced as a head coach, and we will get into it in a second. And it's also a day, hey, look, you wish it didn't sort of have to happen, right? You want to see the organization kind of be moving forward and winning. So when you're introducing a head coach, things didn't go well. Mm-hmm. That said, understanding and realizing that you had to do it, that's a step to move forward in the right direction. It seems like, especially when you take what David Griffin had to say, and even you a couple days ago on social media, the name Willie Green kept coming up, he kept saying. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that name kept popping up and eventually to where he was the head coach of the Pelicans?
I think a lot of it has to do with what he represents. And I say that to say this, Gus. And Willie said this. There's nothing more important in today's NBA. I don't care the X's and O's that you can script. I don't care about your defensive philosophy. I don't care about your defensive framework. There's nothing more important in today's NBA to relating to this generation. That is so incredibly important because if you can script plays, but yet you don't speak their language, they are not going to execute nearly as well. So when you can speak life and you can speak confidence into this generation and your team, things will fall into place.
I know this may sound simple, but to fans listening.
Okay.
Because I say it, you say it, you have to speak to this generation's player. What does that mean specifically? For people listening right now,
okay.
What do you mean? Like, can't you tell them to shoot or can you?
No.
Like,
no, I'm not talking about speaking basketball language.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about the verbiage of, okay, this is what we want to do in the pick and roll. I'm talking about,
correct,
like Willie Green said, they want to know that you care about them as people. You look at certain situations throughout the NBA. You look at Tom Thibodeau in New York.
Yep.
Why was R.J. Barrett different this year? Why did Julius Randle win Most Improved Player this year? Because they brought a coach in there that spoke confidence and life into those players, which indeed now that elevated the New York Knicks to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like that voice is so incredibly important to see, especially when you're dealing with a young team. This Pelicans team, this isn't a veteran-led team that has guys that have been to the playoffs multiple years and guys that have been in the finals. These are guys that are still trying to find their way. They are young, they are inexperienced, and they need that voice of confidence and influence in their locker room.
And we just saw this postseason. It's interesting. You bring in Tom over there in New York. I can think of others where, you know, you get a guy like Nate McMillan that's just the right person for that fit
right
there. You look at Monty Williams, what he was able to do in Phoenix, what we just saw.
When you look at Monty and now a lot more is put on social media and so on and so forth, so we have a deeper understanding of what coaches are saying to their players.
Right.
And there are a couple different instances that I can think of. I saw Monty talking to DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
In one of the timeouts. In one of the mic up segments. Yep. I saw him earlier in the year talking to Campaign, who last year was in China.
Yeah.
You know, who last year was
key this postseason.
But who was also one poor season away from never touching the NBA again.
Yeah, interesting.
And his season got resurrected under Monty because of the words that Monty was able to speak into his career. So the relationship, not just that players have with one another, but the relationship and the trust that they have with their head coach in today's NBA is so incredibly important.
You know, I thought it was interesting to speak with Antonio Daniels that I thought when he sat here and he was talking with us back at the top of the hour, he mentioned Najee Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, you know, he didn't mention a ton of the players, but I said, give me a message to fans. He's like, we're going to play defense and guys like Najee, things of that nature. Look, man, we saw what that guy was able to do. He literally earned himself a contract. He earned himself time on the court. And when you think of Willie Green, that makes so much sense, right? That's the guy that's going to play like him. And that's going to be hard to not maybe listen to when that's what he does.
So here's what I've always said. Mm-hmm. I think role players make the best head coaches. No discredit to any of the greats that have ever been good coaches in this league. I think role players make the best head coaches because role players have, one, started, have been six men, have been the eighth or ninth man on the bench, mm-hmm. and have also not played at all where your minutes are guaranteed. You know what that means? I can relate to every one of you guys mm-hmm. all the way up and down this roster. So when he looks at Najee Marshall, he can see Willie Green, a guy that wasn't a high draft pick, a guy who was not drafted or a second-round draft pick. But then when he looks at someone like Brandon Ingram or Zion as far as offensive responsibility, and the one thing Willie said he's never been was an all-star, but he still has had that amount of offensive responsibility. So when you look at some of the role-playing coaches, role players that are now great head coaches, you look at guys like Avery Johnson and Steve Kerr and Rick Carlisle and Nate McMillan, you know, these kind of guys that are just really, really good because they can relate to everyone. Avery Johnson, I played with Avery in 1999. We won a championship in San Antonio. The same guy that hit that jump shot in the left corner to secure that win for us in Madison Square Garden was the same guy who 8-9 years earlier was cut on Christmas by Greg Popovich. So when you step into a locker room, tell me what guy he can't relate to. You know what I mean? Like, there's a benefit to being a role player because of your ability to adjust to different circumstances.
It's one of the things you and Joel talk about during the games all the time as well, valuing possessions.
Right.
When we spoke with Jason Langdon, he said, look, one of the things you're seeing in international play, whether it's the Olympics or all of these European players, they value possessions. I didn't realize, right? It's less time. It's 40 minutes, not 48. So you have to value those possessions. We would scream about that too, but who better than, as you mentioned, a role player that I don't have that many possessions. I only have 12 minutes
right.
worth of possessions.
Right.
4 minutes of possession. So that's something, again, that's part of that relating question. I'm trying to help fans understand what people mean when they say relating to player. That relates. Hey, Antonio, you're going to play 12 minutes.
But
this is what I need you to do, right?
But it also means, in a different sense, that the time of I'm the head coach, you do what I say because I'm the head coach, that's behind us. That is behind us. And as a head coach, and I've heard Willie speak to this as well, is you want to care. You know what caring means? Caring means being patient and having your finger on the pulse of every player. Mm-hmm. As a father, I have three children. They're all different. I love them all the same, but I love them all different. What motivates one doesn't motivate another one. And it's the same way as a head coach. You have 12 different personalities and 12 different egos that you have to try and adjust to. You have to learn these guys. You have to learn what makes you. I have to learn what motivates you. I have to learn what motivates you. It's not, look, this is what I say, and it better motivate everybody.
Right.
You know, being a head coach, a part of being a head coach is being patient. Being patient with the process. Being patient means I have to learn how to get the best out of everyone. What can I do to put you in a position to be the best version of yourself?
I was going to say that whole, like, relating to each player on an individual layer level and talking about how those facilitators as players mm-hmm. make kind of the best coaches, that also to me translates to specific coaching adjustments that aren't just for saying things for the sake of saying things. When he says, I'm going to, you know, make this team play more defense. To me, I feel like he's able to point to every single player and say, this is something that I've noticed that you need to work on. This is something that you're good at. Here's how to leverage that. And the one-off, he goes, he's done it to Steph Curry. He's done it to CP3. He goes by them and is like, you need to play more aggressive. It's just a one-off thing. And there's no ego checking going on there. And so I also think if you establish that foundation and actually have like a cohesive unit, then they also buy into what he's saying and how he can really craft a lot of these, you know, players that everyone keeps saying have a ton of potential or young stars that we really haven't seen what they can do.
So the two words that you just mentioned were credibility. When you talk about CP3 and you talk about Devin Booker and you talk about Steph Curry and those guys, and then accountability. That's incredibly important because if I know you care about me, I don't mind you holding me accountable. I don't mind. If I know you care about me, I will run through a wall for you if I know you care about me. If I feel like this is just, we're just here serving our time, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to respond the same way when you try and hold me accountable. And the good teams that I played on, because I've been on both sides of the coin. I have been on the worst team in the NBA my rookie year where we won 19 games. And a year later, I was the last team standing in San Antonio. You know, I played on 50-win teams. I played on 40-win teams. The one thing that those two where they kind of parted ways was the accountability. Yeah. You know, there's certain teams where you can't hold accountable. And they don't respond well to it. And there are other teams you can hold them accountable and they can respond well to it.
Speaking with Antonio Daniels, got about 5 more minutes with you, AD. I think it's interesting you say that because, look, over the next couple of weeks, draft on Thursday, free agency, we'll see reshaping, retooling of this roster to maybe better fit Willie or just to improve in certain areas. But it's interesting you say accountability. Yes, we look at management. We look at coaches to do that. But when you brought up a 19-win and a championship team, how much of that also comes internally from your key players, your key cogs, Because, and I'm getting to Zion NBI. Mm-hmm. This is their teams now. And part of the growth that I want to see going to the next year is some of this as well. That's leading by example on the court. That's stuff that we don't see on the plane and, you know, making sure others are accountable. But how much of this team's growth and future will be dependent on those two as well, taking those steps in conjunction with your coach?
Okay, so a couple years ago when Tim Duncan retired, they had a jersey retirement in San Antonio. And some of us that were his teammates, we sat in, were in attendance. Greg Popovich had one of the best lines that I think I've ever heard. He said, "Tim, thank you for giving me the opportunity to coach you." Why that's important is because we are in a player-empowered NBA. If your stars are on board, everybody's on board. Everybody's on board. You know, when I first got to San Antonio, first day of training camp, I saw Tim Duncan and David Robinson, Avery Johnson, and Mario Elie and Steve Kerr, and those guys get cursed out. I mean cursed out. And what stood out wasn't the fact that they got cursed out. What stood out was the way they responded. Because now, if you see Tim Duncan, who was NBA Rookie of the Year, and David Robinson, who's one of the top 50 players of all time, Steve Kerr, who won multiple championships with Michael Jordan, and Mario Elie, who won multiple championships in Houston, if they responded by, you know what, Papa got you, I'm coming off the bench. As a sixth and seventh man, I better respond appropriately. Everything starts at the top. No matter what you're talking about, when you're talking about a successful basketball team, whether you're talking about the front office and trickling its way down, your stars, they are held to a different standard, right or wrong. There is no more star-driven league than the NBA is. One player makes a significant difference.
Final thing for you, AD, and again, thanks for your time. What would you like to pass along? Because we're going to talk more about the team as we get closer to October and November and, you know, and things of that nature. But as you mentioned, what I've gotten from you is getting the right guy is important here as head coach. So you know Willie, and, and you talked again and said a lot social media about him. What can you tell fans listening right now that we may or may not know, or why you think he's going to have a chance here?
Well, what has always stood out to me about Willie is, and I'm saying this from a NBA perspective, I don't want to be insensitive to where our country is as a whole. He has got it from the mud. And what I mean by that is he wasn't drafted high. He wasn't a first-round pick. He wasn't a lottery pick. Willie Green was not brought into the NBA, and he was not supposed to have a 12-year NBA career. You know what he did? He got it by working his tail off. He got it by doing and putting in the time, work, energy, and effort into his craft. And that will translate to his players because they'll know that. You know, they're not being coached by a guy who's one of the greatest players to ever play. They're being coached by a guy who had to work his tail off to get where he is now. And that's respectable.
Yeah.
That is respectable. Playing against Willie as a player, he worked hard, he played hard, he understood his role, and he never stepped out of who he was.
There you go. You excited? Getting ready?
Oh, man, I can't wait. I don't think there's anybody, you ain't gonna talk to nobody who was more on board with this hire than I am.
Well, it's easy to talk about, like, what he can do with Zion and what he can do with Brandon Ingram,
right.
But as you brought up before, it's when he brings up Najee Marshall and thinking about what he can do with those players that might emulate him perhaps a little bit more.
So how do you think that makes Najee feel? You know what I mean? Think about that. So put yourself in that guy's position. Najee Marshall was a guy who, prior to this year, a lot of people hadn't heard of. So when you hear of an interview and he talks about Zion, and he talks about B.I., and as a role player that's coming off the bench, he mentions your name as well.
Right.
Can you imagine what that does as far as inclusion and cohesion is concerned?
Key point. Right. David Lane, yep. General manager of the Birmingham Squadron. We spoke with him at the top of the hour. AD, he said 100 days tomorrow for their first game. They start in November, which means less than 100 days for the NBA to get going. So it's right around the corner. Thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate it as well. Antonio Daniels, Fox Sports New Orleans color analyst. He and Joel Myers have those games with you. And, of course, we got much more. Give us a buzz. Want to hear from you, Pels fans, your thoughts. We got some Willie Green sound that we cut up. We can go back and listen to that as well. It's the Sports Hangover, and you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
You were the girl that changed my world.
Hooters Smoked Wings promo, take one.
Hooters new smoked wings are marinated overnight,
then hickory smoked till they taste just right.
And with only half the calories, you can eat twice as many.
They're so good, you'll come to Hooters just for the food. Wait, this can't be right. Who wrote this?
Yeah, I thought people came here to hang out with us.
And to watch the game, and have a cold one.
Let's just stick to the script.
Sure.
Take two.
So come to Hooters for the smoked wings.
Just don't tell Amber. She's kind of fragile.
Hooters.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Reddit user FlameldeMo says, "This is the worst phone I've owned. People are always bothering me about it. I'm scared just to use my phone in public as a random someone may just give me a stupid grin or whisper to their friends. I cannot stand the fact that I just can't relate to normal phones anymore."
Are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. That's Samsung.com/reserve.
Think you're dealing with drug poisoning, chemical poisoning, food poisoning? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The future depends on teachers who are reinventing the classroom and starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover in your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Thank you, AD, for bringing up the fact that it's Bally Sports New Orleans, no longer Fox. Maddie, it changed like towards the end of the season. So it's not like it's my fault. None else I can really
well,
say.
Well, I mean, at least you're not the Cleveland Guardians and you didn't check to see if a roller derby owned the name of your team before changing it first.
They had to rechange it?
Well, they got a you know, a letter from the roller derby letting them know that they might not own the rights to the roller derby.
I like that. I don't know if you, I showed you the different logos of the Birmingham squadron. I love this. So you're calling it the Soar de Lee. I like that. Have you seen the Soar de Lee? It's really cool. It's a Fleur de Lis with three planes on top. I like that. The Soar de Lis. We'll go with that. I like that. We got the Pell de Lis. We got all that. The Bird de Lis. All that and more. So 800-998-1003 coming up at 145. We'll continue meeting some of our monster truck drivers. There's a monster jam on Saturday at the, why you look so surprised? Yeah. Monster jam coming up on Saturday in the Superdome. Yeah.
In the Superdome?
Yes. There's dirt and everything. Big old monster trucks. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Have you ever been to a monster jam?
I haven't. I got it a little confused with the Monster Mash, I think, in my head. But
Monster Mash. No. No. Cynthia, I think Gaucher, maybe, would be how I would pronounce that. She drives Monster Mutt.
Oh, it literally,
I mean, it's
looks
spelled
like
Gaucher, Mississippi, so I'm going to go with Gaucher. We'll find out. Buddy, that's your job. Cynthia Gaucher. I'm almost positive it's Gaucher. But, she drives Monster Mutt. It's a massive monster truck that has floppy ears and it's a dog. Can you not like that?
You learn something new every day, and today wasn't necessarily what I was expecting to be Monster Mutt, but...
800-998-1003. Let's go back a little bit from earlier this morning. And one of the things that David Griffin was talking about as to why he wanted to bring up, I guess not wanted, but one of the things that popped up, and we brought it up with Willie, we brought it up with Trajan as well, was that his name kept getting brought up. And I thought it was interesting
have you called him yet?
Right. And it was teams that are going through coaching searches or have gone through coaching searches. So, you know, and again, when you think, Maddie, it's kind of remarkable. He only started coaching since 2016. But that kind of tells you maybe his reputation around the league as players like Antonio Daniels was just saying. I knew him and played against him. So,
am I incorrect that he stepped in at all in Steve Kerr's absence when he was out? I believe so. And, I mean, he coached the summer league.
Steve Kerr at one of the games in the NBA Finals said that he thought he was going to be a star in the head coaching community.
Yeah.
And that was way back when.
Yeah.
So.
I just had that pulled up from the, like, SF Chronicle. Yeah, I mean, and that's someone who, you know, you're kind of willing to buy into.
Right.
And then, you know, again, you hear how he worked with so many of their players on their shooting techniques, on playing defense, all of these things that have been specifically brought up with the Pelicans. And people are saying, you know, kind of why should we believe it this time when there have been so many other times in the past where we've kind of gotten the same story. Well, with Green, you can look at tangible examples of how he has developed players that have similar types of strengths, similar types of weaknesses, how he has worked with some of the best shooters all time, as well as some of the best facilitators of the offense of all time, and hopefully can bring those things.
And let's be honest, some egos. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You have to be confident and have an ego. But
when I
think a lot of times when people say ego, it's a bad thing. But look, I mean, it's Steph bleeping Curry.
Yeah.
He's an MVP. I mean, it's Chris bleeping Paul.
Well,
he's
I always think,
I mean, so being around
those
players.
Even Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
Who I think if Zion.
I think is a massive cog in that wheel that runs that.
Yeah.
He's that energy. He's that spark plug. He's that I will get in your. He told Durant to take a hike. Listen, I mean, think about it. He ran off Kevin Durant.
Yeah. That's Draymond Green for you.
But you need that.
Yeah, and everyone always complains, you know, with Green that he can't really shoot, and his retort is always, why would I shoot the ball when Steph Curry's on my basketball team? But, yeah, it's his mentality and just his imposing presence, and that's really what I feel like. More than the leadership aspect for me from Zion, because I understand that that is an important thing, but I also know at the end of the day that not everyone is meant to be a leader, and some people just... They might be good quiet leaders, but that locker room voice, sometimes it's a James Johnson who has to kind of come in and have that personality type. But the two of them need to make a leap either in transforming this offense into one that actually utilizes them all off of one another instead of just kind of putting them all in boxes for their own strengths and having them all kind of get shut out from one another and then not being able to match it on the other side of the ball. And if the Pelicans can play defense, then I will.
Well, that's right. Look, I keep saying it. Those two guys have to lead the way, though. They have to lead the way and take that next step. Eric, thank you for giving us a call. You got about 2.5 minutes, sir, before I have to hit the break. What you got?
Hey, God bless you. Yeah, I'm real concerned about Brandon Ingram. He's been in the league several years now, and he doesn't understand and for the defense at this point, I mean, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to take to inspire him to play. How much longer do the Pelicans give Brandon Ingram in terms of him improving his defense before they look in a different direction?
But to me, it's kind of hard to single out a player on the Pelicans when you look at their defensive stats, what their rebounds were, with, you know, what all of those ratings were, collectively as a team, they just weren't emphasizing defense for one reason or another. I just feel like last year set them back a lot, and it kind of perhaps made us look at some players in more of a negative light than maybe would have been the case if they had, you know, a proper year of development with a coach that kind of fit their values and there was actually development to be had. It just kind of felt stalled to me. And this just kind of does seem like they're starting over and this is some type of thing that they might be able to connect with more. But for one reason or another, just the chemistry never seemed to be there for me on the court all the time last year. And, you know, with all of the reports that come out thus far, largely going to be a very different lineup next year. So sometimes it takes it takes someone coming off the bench and playing defense, and then everyone starts to rally around them. It just doesn't necessarily have to be Ingram to me.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the phone call, man. I want to get to Cajun Goat first so I can free up a line. We're going to have Cynthia Gauthier call us here in a quick second. Cajun Goat, give me your best 60 to 90 seconds. Go.
I'm going to give Willie Green a chance, and hopefully this works out. The trade was just kind of making up for the bad mistakes they made last year on the guys that they picked up, but I think we got the best player in Valanciunas. I just hope, Gus, that he's not injured like his kind of career has been injured. Hopefully he can stay injury-free with the Pelicans. And I'm excited to see what guard you're going to get for this team, because you still need a guard for this team. I don't think the young guys are ready yet. And as far as leadership with Zion, I mean, it's hard for a guy to come in the league and know how to be a professional right away and consider him to be a leader. I can see him working into that role, but I think they may need to get a guy that can help him work into that role. That's all I got for you, Gus.
I hear you, man. Appreciate it so much, man. Thank you, KJ Go, and I'm with you. I think as we hit the break, we're going to hit a lot more about this, obviously, on Thursday when the draft comes. Yes, the Pels now, right now, scheduled at 17. We'll see what happens. How much do you develop your younger players? How much do you try to go get a veteran presence? At what positions that is? Are you just trying to increase the talent, which is obviously key that you've got to do to begin with? So we'll see on all of that frontier as well. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame.
Shrimp boats is a-coming.
Since 1948, that's 73 years, Alaria Brothers has been in the commercial fishing and shrimping supply business, stocking large selections of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches and hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. Also a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire, stocking nylon plastic and knotless webbing. You heard about that new webbing, Platina Knotless Dyneema. Alaria Brothers also stocks shark tail netting that's reinforced with stainless steel wire. They stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers, also stocking a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin gel coat and other supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alaria Brothers stocks anchors from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Visit Alaria Brothers before the season begins. That's Alaria Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego. Online at alariabros.com.
Shrimp boats is a-coming.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years.
We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime in. At ESPN Radio, NOLA here as well. And also don't forget to go download the top-rated DraftKings app now. Sign up. Use the code LAROSE, L-A-R-O-S-E, when you sign up. It'll help you get a couple just trust me when you do that. Get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars after that first deposit that you put in. Super easy. If you know anything about fantasy sports, that's what are you doing. You're putting together a lineup. You have a salary cap. You have to stay in their salary cap. Then you press submit and you watch the games and see what happens. Super cool, but it's live. You can go do it now. I'm excited to see how much fun Jordan's going to have on this app here as well. We're live at the Pelicans practice facility. Daniel Salerson's still here with us. I don't know where the graph is. I think he's probably working out or taking some shots. Did you see where he went? I don't know where he
went.
I think he was watching film back there.
Could be
getting ready
film.
For the season.
I'm not even kidding. Maddie, you saw he was pacing. He was pacing.
Yeah.
Right before we're talking to
be the master of ceremonies for the new Pelicans head coach. You unvacationed.
Did that surprise you a bit when David Lane said tomorrow 100 days for the Birmingham Squadron, the team's G League team, to start playing? We're less than 100 days from NBA because they start in October.
Yeah, I know. It's really surprising. I mean, just think about even these next 10 days. You have the draft in 2 days, and then you have free agency, then you have Summer League, and then maybe in the middle of August, usually that's when it comes, the schedule's going to come out, and then you only have a month and a half to get ready for training camp. And so just because of how this offseason has gone based on COVID and the calendar changing, we kind of had that, you know, we didn't have that much of a break after May. You're getting ingrained in watching playoff basketball. So it's kind of just been a really fast-paced offseason, which I'm ready to get to October. I mean, just based on everything, new head coach, you're going to see some rosters, you know, moves here in the next week or so. I'm just looking forward to everything. So I'm ready for September, October to get going here.
So you heard, obviously, General D and a couple of other people in that last caller kind of mentioning a player specifically in that report in Valanciunas. You can tell us what kind of player Valanciunas is and why maybe he's been a good player. I mean, injury concern, look, a lot of players sort of have that as well. But, man, I started seeing last night different statistics from people that cover this team or the NBA. What's his strengths and what's his weaknesses?
I mean, the strengths are his rebounding is one of them. I mean, you can see 20 and 20 from him on any given night. He averaged 17 and 12, as General Lee mentioned. So his rebounding is something there. That Steven Adams is there too, but this is a guy that can get after it. And you had it was a big problem for other teams trying to stop him and block him out. His strengths, another thing, is the fact that he can go to the line,
right.
73% shooting from three, so or from the free throw line. So if you're getting offensive rebounds and putting back up, you can't just foul him anymore and think, oh, it's okay, he's probably just going to make one of two. Most likely he's going to make both of them, so you're going to have to make...
So a big that can board and can shoot free throws, so you don't have to take him out at the end of the games and stuff.
That's exactly right. And then he didn't shoot a ton of threes, but he's capable. He shot 37% from three, so he can, if needed, space the floor a little bit. I don't think guys are going to go out there and say, we got to get this guy on him, you know, to guard him and make him shoot. But you're going to have to keep an eye on him a little bit if he does float around the perimeter a little bit. So those are some of the things. He has a little bit more of a post-up game than I would say a Steven Adams type guy. But he, again, another veteran piece. He'll bring a lot to that offensive side of the ball.
One of the things that was interesting, Maddie, the Pels had success against the Grizzlies for a while since Ja Morant's come in. It's kind of been a run joke. But the last game or two was different, and then you saw the Grizzlies get in the postseason and have a decent showing. I mean, they didn't win many games. Ja Morant averaged 28 points, but that team was tough. And part of it was Todd always used to tell me, they're just going to battle you.
Yep.
They had a lot of size, and they were going to sort of battle you. To have a player to perhaps not only has that size, but maybe has played on a team where it's about defense, it's about being physical, it's about that, to add to that could be maybe also equally as important.
I mean, they've been known as grit and grind for forever, and that's not really the case anymore. They still call themselves Grind City, but, I mean, this is a team that goes after it, you know, every single night, and that hustle is why they've been in contention for a play-in spot their first year under the new head coach and Taylor Jenkins and made it to the play-in in the playoffs. In their second year, they're pretty much in the same position as us. A ton of young talent looking to sprinkle in some veteran pieces. I think that's why they made the trade on their side. they get some guys like Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe. So, yeah, he's a gritty guy that is not afraid to go after a loose ball, go get a rebound, put it back up. But he's going to be another guy that could be a leader on your team that can help a guy like Zion night in and night out, you know, teaching him the ropes, you know, more so even off the court. I think that's some of the things you need in a veteran team is not how to teach these guys off the court, but just kind of show them the way and show them that this is maybe things that you can do to help improve the morality of the team. There's just so many things that go beyond basketball that I think Jonas can bring, and there could be some other pieces along the way too.
To me, you saw that impact last season just as much in James Johnson and how, in my opinion, he kind of saved the season.
Yep.
Halfway before, and you could see players, even when he wasn't playing at the end of the season, like Jackson Hayes, looking to him on the sidelines, getting fired up by him kind of coaching them up. And it just happened that everyone went down like flies when he came in, and they were only, you know, so competitive, but they really needed someone to infuse that type of like old school mentality. And I feel like this topic's come up quite a bit of kind of this like pressure on Zion and Brandon Ingram to be the leaders of this team, but to me, if they can play great basketball and there's someone else that just is more natural in that type of role, well, you know, why force it?
Right. I completely agree. And Zion might not be that guy that screams in your ear and says, let's go get to it. But leading by example is something that he could also do. So I think that's a very good point when it comes to this roster. And look, Steven Adams was like that. He was a great veteran leader, too, so let's not forget that, because he was really close with Jackson Hayes. He was really close with Billy Hernan Gomez. I mean, they had a tight-knit group. And I think that's important just to instill that with the whatever, you know, you might have a lot more turnover again. Last year, there was half the roster was turned over with COVID and new coach. Some things may have just gotten off to the wrong foot and kind of led through the entire season. Now you have another new head coach. You're probably going to have new roster movement as well. How does Zion watching the playoffs, seeing everything going on, how's B.I. watching the playoffs, like, man, I just want to get there. That could change their whole mentality. We don't know what's going on inside their heads, but we do know this is a very talented team that has a lot of potential this season. It's just now the question of what pieces come around them, how they fit in the locker room and on the court.
Well, apt to use this finals as an example, considering, like, the Milwaukee Bucks were the definition of kind of grit and grind, and Giannis got all this flack for signing there and not going and joining the super team, and they kind of showed that if you actually just, you know, work hard and get the fundamentals down and play defense.
Well, and the other thing, Daniel, that I text him to your point, not only signing there, staying there, but something that I brought up to Antonio Daniels at the end, I said, how important is the future of the Pelicans organization and franchise to become a winning one, that Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram take not only ownership, but take that next step forward? Because, to your point, Giannis and Chris Middleton were together for eight years. So, you know, you look at OKC and you had Durant and Westbrook and Harden before they made their run to the final. But you have to play together, but those guys are going to do it. I get bringing in other players to add some culture, add veteran leadership, but your culture and your veteran leadership has got to come from your two best players.
Right.
And then it builds out.
And your coach, to me.
Yeah. Right. But, like, Breeze came in conjunction with Sean.
In conjunction.
But Breeze instilled, this is what we're doing.
But Sean also gave him kind of that ability to do that.
That's what AD was saying, is that you have a guy in Willie. But you have to have the players that do it with them.
You got to have stability on both sides, number one. But it starts from the top with the head coach, and then it also starts with the players. But the one thing that also, you know, stuck out to me is when you're seeing the recipes that some teams are going for, going all in with a big three, is injuries happen. And we saw that through the playoffs. And if one guy goes down, the Nets with Kyrie, they're not doing well. They're in scramble mode. When Kawhi Leonard goes down, and it's all to Paul George, you need to have depth. You need to have plenty of guys that can step up in a situation where if you're able to go to the playoffs, you feel like anything is possible. If one team goes down with injury, you're right there saying, we can come back and do this. Look at Milwaukee did with Brooklyn. So not only are you building pieces, but you need to build a roster based on if a guy goes down, there's not a huge drop-off. And I think you're starting to see that with these teams is you may have the two or three best guys, three of the top 10 players in the league, but if one of those goes down and you don't have any other depth because you used all this money, that could be a huge problem. And injuries are a big part of this game and why those two teams made it. And that's not the only reason. They were very talented and well coached, and that's why they're in there. But they were ready when things went south for the other teams. But
they all had the next man up mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Daniel, as we close out this hour and bring in hour number three, we'll actually expand some of our conversation to the big news right across the parking lot, sir, when it comes to your New Orleans Saints, 2 days away from practice. But, you know, it was this. We looked at 14 times last year this team didn't close. The NBA Finals were closed by the three best player the Bucks had making a play. Middleton hit a massive shot on that wing. Drew got a steal. Giannis made the dunk. Giannis made the block.
Defense
Middleton made the jumper. Drew made a steal. I mean, your guys have to come through. I mean, it's on them.
And then you had Brook Lopez, Pat Connaughton step up. I mean, before he got injured, DiVincenzo. I mean, there's other guys that they relied on just as much as those big three, and that's what you need. You need a sprinkle of each of those in order to get things going.
Daniel Salerson, Gus Cadden, Go Matty Hudak coming up in Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.